The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 13, Text Number 11, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 23rd, 2012, in Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Kvachit cha sita atapa vata varsha pratikriyam kartum anisha aste kvachit mitha vipanam yat cha kinchit vidvesham vichyati uta vita shatyat kvachit sati tatapavata varsha pratikriyam kartum anisha aste kvachin mito vipananyascha kinchid dvesham rishchat yuta vitta shatyat kvachit stashita tapavata varsha pratikriyam kartum anisha aste kvachin mito vipanam yascha kinchid vidvesham rishchat yuta vitta shatyat kvachit sometimes cha also shita atapa varta varsha of freezing cold scorching heat
strong wind and excessive rainfall
pratikriyam counteraction kartum to do anisha being unable aste remains in misery kvachit sometimes mitha one another vipanam selling yat cha whatever kinchit a little bit vidvesham mutual enmity vichyati obtain uta it is so said but the shatyat because of cheating one another merely for money. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the Supreme Benedictor of the Universe. Sometimes the living entity is busy counteracting the natural disturbances of freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, excessive rainfall, and so forth. When he is unable to do so, he becomes very unhappy. Sometimes he is cheated in business transactions, one after another. In this way, by cheating, living entities create enmity among themselves. Purport. This is an example of the struggle for existence, the attempt to counteract the onslaught of material nature. This creates enmity in society. And consequently, society is filled with envious people. One person is envious of another. And this is the way of the material world. The Krishna consciousness movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. Of course, it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but the Krishna consciousness movement can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragnitam Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha. It's pretty bad. It really is. It's pretty bad. We try to gloss it over, imagining it's really not so bad after all this material world, but actually it's really, really bad. So many disturbances are there, excessive heat, excessive cold, drought. This one problem after another problem after another problem, and it will continue to be that way. Especially in this Kali Yuga, it is simply an age of problems, 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 problems. So instead of trying to imagine that we are enjoying in this problematic situation by gratifying our senses, the intelligent person realizes this is a miserable place. Why should I try to enjoy a place that is miserable? Let me get out of here. You see? Just like somebody may be in the prison, you see. He's very unhappy being in the prison. So he thinks, how can I qualify to be released from the prison? That's the intelligent man, you see. Some prisoner thinks, let me make a nice arrangement here in the prison. That's less intelligent man, you see. The intelligent man is, what can I do to get out of here as soon as possible? So the devotee, you see, he understands this material world is a lost cause. No matter what you do, it's going to be miserable. No matter what arrangements you make, even if you can position yourself as Brahmaji, the chief demigod of this entire universe, still you're in a precarious, problematic, ultimately miserable situation. So why make such a big endeavor to think you can be happy by material arrangements? It just is not possible. Forget it. Just kick out that illusion from the brain. That's what we have to do, you see. We have to kick out this illusion from the brain that we can be happy in this material world. We cannot. It's absolutely impossible. Unless one becomes Krishna conscious, you see. Because Krishna consciousness means you connect yourself with your original natural identity, which is eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. Anandamayo Vyasat. That is your nature. You're an enjoyer by nature, just as Krishna is an enjoyer by nature. You being part and parcel of Krishna, you are also an enjoyer by nature. So really, all you have to do to be happy is just stop trying to be something that you're not and just be who you really are. That's all you have to do. Krishna consciousness movement means a facility to teach people how to be who they are. That's all. We've been so much misguided, poisoned, contaminated, miseducated, misdirected, polluted, exploited by a society which teaches us to try to be something that we're not, namely this body. You see? How can you be your body? If I tell you, okay, Dear love, now you have that green jacket on. Now, from now on, you must be that green jacket. You see? Can he do that? I am this green jacket, you see. Just like Prabhupada gives a story, some people decided to torture one man. So whenever he came into the room, they say, "Ghost! Ghost! Ghost!" Everybody, wherever he went, "Oh, a ghost!" And he started thinking, "I must be a ghost! I'm a ghost! I'm a ghost!" You see? Just by conditioning, he started believing that he was real. He was a ghost. You see? So in the same way, you see, we're being told again and again, you are that green jacket. That's who you are, you see. You are that green jacket. That's who you are. Green jacket. There you are, green jacket, you see. So after a while, you may start believing, yes, I'm this green jacket, you see. So in this way, we've been conditioned. You are male, you are female, you are Indian, you are Aussie, you are Texan, you are this and that, you see. We've been conditioned by this false propaganda that we are the body, that we are the enjoyers of this material world, you see. We've been very powerfully conditioned into the false ego. After millions of lifetimes, it's been reinforced again and again and again and again, the false ego. And it's actually a hopeless position. Because every time you do a sinful activity, you have to get that forces you to take another reaction, which forces you to do another sinful activity, to get another reaction. And this way, you never can get out of karma chakra. You never can get out. But brahmanda brahmite konna bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadai pai bhakti lata bij. One living entity who is indeed very fortunate, if he can somehow or other come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who then plants the seed of Krishna bhakti within his heart, you see, then he can become liberated from this material existence. That is the saving grace of the spiritual master, you see. Because Prabhupada came, plant that seed of bhakti, you see. Otherwise we are hopelessly lost in karma chakra. We would never get up. Because we've been blessed by the dust of the lotus feet of this greatest Paramahamsa, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vadandati Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, now we have the facility to get out of this hellish, nightmarish quagmire. So, what do you have to do to get out? If you get a seed planted in your garden, what do you have to do to get a fruit from that seed? Do you just neglect the seed? Or do you water it regularly? You must water it regularly. And that is standing Hare Krishna. And what you must also do? You must weed the garden. Because if there are some weeds there, when you pour the water, the weeds will suck all the water and the plant will suffer. You see? So you have to weed the garden also. Therefore, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. And then Prabhupada also explains in his purport, you must build a very strong fence also around the garden. What is that fence? To keep out the mad elephant. Do you know there are mad elephants roaming around? Hatti Matta, mad elephants. And what does that represent? Vaishnava Aparad. You see? As described here in this purport today, envy. We have a tendency to be envious. And what do you do when you're envious? You're offensive. When you are envious, you have an envious mentality. You speak and you act in an offensive way. You see? Offenses are the fruit of envy. You see? So because we're envious, we have a tendency to be offensive. You see? To hate instead of to love. You see? So one has to build a very strong steel fence around the garden of one's heart. No hateful thoughts allowed here in this garden, you see. I have to love all the Vaishnavas. I have to love them. We may have disagreements. That's natural in a big society. You may have a certain view. I may have a certain view. That's natural. It proves that Mayavadi philosophy is not true, you see. But in spite of our disagreeing, and sometimes we have to love one another. We must love one another. Yes. This is confirmed in the Adi Purana. Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha. Mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta matamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee, you see. So how much am I a devotee of the devotees? If I'm envious, I won't be your devotee. If I'm envious of you, I will hate you. You see, I won't be devoted to you. But that means I cannot be a devotee, you see. Krishna will never accept my devotion if I'm envious of you, if I hate you, you see. Well, I'm devoted to the deities. I hate those jerks, those devotees, but I love the deities, Radha Gopinath. Krishna will never accept. No, you're not my devotee. You see, you're a rascal. You don't love my devotees, you're simply rascal nonsense. You see. So, we have to learn how to love the Vaishnavas. How do you do? I don't feel any love for the Vaishnavas. What can I do? I'm so impersonal, I'm so cold-hearted, steel-framed heart. How can I love the Vaishnavas then? It doesn't feel natural for me to be loving to people. I'm such an impersonalist. I don't have that tendency to be loving. So what do I do? There's a famous pastime in this regard. That glorious ISKCON Center, the most glorious ISKCON Center of all ISKCON Centers, 26 Second Avenue, the original center of our movement. Prabhupada would, he was known as Swamiji then. How many of you have been to 26 Second Avenue and seen that wonderful pilgrimage place? That's the advantage of being in America. You can, you know, you can go up, catch a flight up to New York and, you know, catch a subway over to 26 Second Avenue and take darshan. And you go to the park also, Tompkins Square Park. It's really, if you ever get a chance, you ever get a chance to go to the U.S., you have to go to New York to see Tompkins Square Park, the tree that Prabhupada preached under, the famous tree in the photograph, it's still there. There's even a plaque by it commemorating the tree, you see. The New York Park Department put up a plaque with that tree. You can see the tree where Prabhupada, it's commemorated by the government, that tree where Prabhupada began this preaching movement, you see. And then you go to 26 Second Avenue. So anyway, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights, Swamiji, as he was known then, he would come down. He had the storefront has the front door, and then has a side door also. There's a hallway that goes through because there's people in the back apartment. They have to go through a hallway to get across the courtyard to go in the apartments in the back. So Prabhupada had Swamiji, as he was, he had the apartment in the back on the second floor. He would come down the stairs, cross the nice little courtyard there with some greenery in the middle of the concrete jungle, and then he would come into the back door of the storefront. So what do you do when the spiritual master enters? And they all learned by that point. They all bow down and offer their obeisance to Prabhupada. Except for one boy, Bruce, who became, not Bruce, but Greg, who became Gargamuni. He would not bow down. He was Mr. Natural, you see, with his long hair. I'm Mr. Natural. I just do what's natural, man. You know. So, but he was feeling a little uncomfortable because everybody bowed down except for him. So during the questions and answers, he said, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everyone bows down, but I do not bow down because it doesn't feel natural for me. Is that all right, Swamiji? Prabhupada said, you must bow down. Because by doing it, then the natural feeling will come. So he surrendered to Prabhupada's instruction. Okay, Swamiji ordered me to bow down. I'll do it on Swamiji's order. And sure enough, by doing it, he felt the love, you see, of bowing down to the spiritual master. So even if you don't feel like being kind, you're in a bad mood, you got laid off from your job, you know, your dog bit you, or you know, whatever bad thing may have happened, may put you in a bad mood. You're at the temple and you really, mind is really disturbed, but just put it all aside, you see. Just leave your bad mood out there in the shoe rack with your shoes, you see. Whatever bad mood or anger or negativity you have, leave it there in the shoe rack with your shoes, you see. We should have a negativity rack also, you see. Here's the shoe rack and here's the negativity rack. Just leave your envy. All negativity is left here, you see. And you come in here, okay, all negativity is out there. If I want to have it, I can get it when I leave the temple. But here in the temple, no negativity, you see. And just positive energy, you see. And so if one just makes that mental discipline, okay, I'm going to be nice to all the devotees, I'm going to be kind to the devotees, I'm going to be considerate, I'm going to be willing to hear what they have to say, I'm going to reveal my heart to them honestly. In this way, if we cultivate this mood, and this is exactly what Prabhupada is saying, that the Krishna consciousness movement can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. This is our duty. Prabhupada said we can do it, and we have to make it, we will do it. You understand? Prabhupada said it can be done, now it's up to us whether we will do it or not. You understand? We have to do it. It can be done, now we have to do it. And on the other side, he said it's not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious. Does that mean we don't try? It's like saying, well, the Titanic is sinking. I don't think we can possibly get everybody off the Titanic, so let's forget about it and just sail away. No, you get as many people as you can. You see? So even though Prabhupada says it's not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, still we should try to save as many souls as we can. And Prabhupada actually ordered us in Los Angeles. He said, become guru and deliver the entire world. So one could argue, but Prabhupada, how can you tell us to deliver the entire world when you say it's not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious? That's contradictory, Srila Prabhupada. One could argue, you see. With Prabhupada, try to make an argument. But that reminds me of the spiritual master who told his disciple to read the Bhagavad Gita every day, 18 chapters, and the disciple is illiterate. He could sit, he'd say, Guru Maharaj, you give me an impossible order. I can't read. And you've told me to read the Gita every day? No, he didn't take that mood. He thought, well, what can I do? Even though it's impossible for me to read the Gita, I've been ordered to do it, so okay, I'll sit here with this manuscript. This was 500 years ago. They didn't have the printed BBT editions in those days. But they had the nice handwritten manuscript. Beautiful. You can imagine the handwritten manuscript from Bhagavad Gita, how beautiful it must have been. Handwritten, you know, handwritten. So personal, you know. Some Brahmins took the time and trouble to write every, you know, very nicely write down every single Sanskrit letter. So anyway, he would sit there and he would read the Bhagavad Gita, you know, try, and people would make fun. Oh, just see, this Brahmin, he can't read. I'm making a show of reading Bhagavad Gita. Ha, 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 ha. He was the laughingstock in the Ranganath temple. There was a talk going around, you know, the Gramya Gita going around about the Brahmin who can't, the illiterate Brahmin who's trying to read the Gita. So Lord Chaitanya, you know, he made that pilgrimage of South India. He came to Rangachetra, to that Ranganath temple. And coming into the temple, into the atmosphere of the temple, he caught this gossip about the illiterate Brahmin, you see, who's trying to read Gita. He thought, let me check out this Brahmin. What's the deal with him, you see? So this Brahmin is very used to being criticized. He's become somewhat callous to it because Guru Maharaj has ordered me. They may criticize and laugh at me. I don't care. My spiritual master ordered me, so I must do to the best of my ability. So, but when Lord Chaitanya approached him, you can imagine you're sitting there in the temple trying to read the Gita, and this beautiful golden complexion sannyasi, just imagine, you're sitting there, Lord Chaitanya, how beautiful Lord Chaitanya must have been, his transcendental effulgence just, you know, completely destroying all the illusion of the material nature. Just imagine, you're sitting there, Lord Chaitanya walks up to you, how amazing that must have been for that Brahmana, you see. So, Lord, he understood, this person has not come to criticize me. He can immediately understand. This is somebody different. This is not like the run-of-the-mill, you know, gossipers finding fault with me for reading the Gita. This person is completely different. So Lord Chaitanya said, Brahmana, I have heard you illiterate on your reading Bhagavad Gita. How is that? The Brahmana said, yes, I'm illiterate, but what can I do? My Guru Maharaj has ordered me that every day I must read 18 chapters. I'm simply looking through this manuscript. What can I do? But Lord Chaitanya said, Brahmana, I see you're not only trying to read Bhagavad Gita, I see you're crying also. How is it that you're crying? He said, oh, there is, someone has made an illustration here on this manuscript of Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot. And when I see this illustration, I think, how kind is Krishna that he is driving the chariot of his devotee. When I think of how loving, how sweet, how merciful, how kind is our beloved Krishna, I cry. So Lord Chaitanya said, Brahmana, you are the true scholar of Bhagavad Gita. And he gave him a big hug. You see? So even though it's impossible to make the whole world Krishna conscious, it's like it's impossible for an illiterate man to read the Bhagavad Gita. You see, impossible. Still, the disciple thinks, my guru has ordered me to deliver the whole world, you see. So I must try, even though I can't be done, still I must try, you see. And you know, and actually Prabhupada thought it was impossible to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world also. He told us in Atlanta in 1975. He said that my godbrother, he was sent by Guru Maharaj to Britain for preaching, and he was approached by Lord Zetland. Lord Zetland said, Lord Zetland actually had been the governor of Bengal under British domination of India. So he had some knowledge of the Vedic culture, Varnashram culture. That, you know, the topmost rung in the Vedic culture, that is Brahmana. He's a British lord, you see. He's got the top status in the British society. And now he's thinking, well, maybe I can become a top status, also be a Brahmin and a lord at the same time. He's thinking like that. So he said, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? And Prabhupada's godbrother replied, no problem, we can make you a Brahmin. Simply you have to give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Lord Zetland immediately replied, impossible. So Prabhupada told us that day in Atlanta, I never forget. He said, I was thinking when I come to your country, as soon as I tell you, you have to give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, you will immediately tell me, Swamiji, please go home. But he said, I thought, let me try, you see. So this is the mood of the Vaishnava, you see. It's impossible for everybody to become Krishna conscious, but still, let me try. Papa ordered, deliver the whole world. Let me try to make the whole world Krishna conscious, you see. That is the mood. Let me try. Win or fail, doesn't matter. And Prabhupada reconfirms this point in his Bhagavatam purport. He said, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also achieve perfection. So even though it's impossible, this should be our meditation. You see? This should be our meditation. And what will be the result? Lord Chaitanya will embrace us. You see? Lord Chaitanya will give us his mercy. That will be the result. If we embrace the impossible mission. Actually, it reminds me, there used to be a TV show in the U.S. I don't know if they ran it in Australia in the old days. It was called Mission Impossible. And every week, the undercover agent would be given this. It was actually on a cassette tape. He would play his assignment, and the thing, when he finished the tape, it would evaporate, mystically evaporate. It's a special cassette tape. You play it one time, and then it evaporates. So every week, he would get his impossible mission from the CIA, whoever it was, the spy agency. And every day, he succeeded in pulling off the impossible mission, you see. So that should be our mood. Baba has given us an impossible mission, but we're going to do our best. That's all. Win or lose, we're going to make our best effort to make the world Krishna conscious, because that's Prabhupada's order, to deliver the world, the whole world. And the result will be Prabhupada will be very pleased with us, you see, because we'll be sharing his burden and sharing Lord Chaitanya's burden. Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada explains, is in great anxiety to see the fallen conditioned souls of this material world. Anyone who takes up this mission of delivering the fallen conditioned souls, they're relieving Lord Chaitanya of some of his burden of anxiety. And therefore they become very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. So, by embracing this world preaching mission spirit that is called Sankirtan consciousness, you see, by embracing this world deliverance mission, then you become recognized by Krishna. Nachatasman manusheshu kashtin me priyakritamaha pavita chatame yashad anya priyaturobhi. Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, Krishna says, there's nobody more dear to me than the one who takes up this preaching spirit, you see. Nor will there ever be anybody more dear. So we may not be able to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls, but we become very dear to Krishna for trying to do that, you see. So what do you have to lose? We will gain everything. But if you can get you can be recognized by Gopinath or Krishna for your sincere endeavor, you see, then that is perfection. Many people, they say, I want to see God, you see. I want to see God. Show me how I can see God, you see. Then I'll believe if I can see him. But Prabhupada said, seeing God, that is not a very important thing. He said, anybody can see God if they have the eyes to see. Seeing God is not a very important thing. But the most important thing is to be seen by God. How much this devotee is working hard for my mission, you see. That's what we should desire. Not to see God, but let me work so hard, so dedicatedly, 24 hours a day, fully absorbed in pushing forward the Sankirtan movement for the deliverance of the fallen conditioned souls, and then I will be seen by God. That is more important than seeing God, you see. Even we read some lady who's wandering in the forest, Prabhupada explains, she saw God. She was carrying a bundle of sticks on her shoulder, and became too heavy. She dropped them on the ground. She said, Krishna, Krishna, help me, help me. And Krishna appeared, said, yes, what help do you need? Can you put the sticks back in my shoulder for me? You see? So that kind of seeing, we're not interested in that kind of seeing God. My dear Lord, please help me to pay my rent this month. You know, please give me a wife. Please bless me that my wife can get pregnant. You know, some couples have a fertility problem. And then they're constantly praying that they can have a baby, you see. But why don't we pray that we have the baby of Krishna Prema born within our hearts, you see. That's how we should pray. I guarantee you, if you pray for something besides Prema, it's frustrating because you may not get it. And if you do get it, then you think, well, let me pray for something else now. You're taking God as your order supplier, you see. Why don't we just pray for prema, you see? Because if you have prema, then everything comes, isn't it? Doesn't Krishna say that in Bhagavad Gita 9:22? Ananyaschintayantamang yejana paryapasate tesham nachibayuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. Doesn't he say that? Yes, that is what he says. He says that those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, whatever they have, I protect it. And whenever they're lacking, I provide it. You see? So if you just say, okay, I have one love only, and that's Krishna. You see? I have only one love, and that is Krishna. Everything else, not very important. Simply give all of my love to Krishna, and then you become perfect. You become perfect in love to all living entities because every living entity is part of Krishna. When you water the root, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you feed the belly, every part of your body becomes nourished. So simply you give your love to Krishna and then everything becomes perfect. Give all of your love, not 99.99999%. That's not enough. Prabhupada said, Krishna does not see what you're giving. He sees what you're holding back. But you're not giving this. Krishna can see what you're holding back. So don't hold anything back. Give everything to Krishna. Just like Bali Maharaj, you see. He gave everything to Krishna. Vamanadeva, you see. He was the ruler of the whole universe. Vamana came, he gave The whole universe was given in the first two steps, the promise steps. Now what to give? I can only give myself now. You stuff on my head, you see. That is the mood, pure bhakti mood. He was a demon. He was an asura, a demon, and he became immediately one of the 12 great mahajanas. Can you imagine from demon to mahajana in three easy steps? It's like they have those made, those for dummies books, you see. Mahajana status for dummies. One three-step program, you know. I give you everything I give you half my possessions here, and my other half here, and the first step I give myself completely to you, you see. Half of my possessions are the first step, the other half of the second step, the third step. Now you totally take me, I'm yours, you see. An instant Mahajan status, you see. These Mahajanas are very great. Prabhupada said they are the Krishna's GBC. The original GBC men, 12 great Mahajanas, you see. So in this way, if we can understand this science of bhakti, if we can try to apply it, then our lives will be delightful. I mean, it'll be bliss. Wouldn't you like to be at a wonderful, joyous festival at every minute for all of eternity, in all times, places, and circumstances? I guarantee you, if you will embrace this sankirtan mood of making the world Krishna conscious, embrace it as my life and soul, I must give everything I can to help this movement be successful, whether I'm a pujari, a cook, a book distributor, a manager, a householder, you know, supporting the temple by preaching and by donations. Whatever my position is, I must dedicate myself to this world deliverance mission of Prabhupada, that we make this endeavor to deliver the whole world, you see. If you absorb yourself in this sankirtan consciousness, then you'll always be at a festival. A transcendental festival of bliss at every moment, in times, all places, and all circumstances. So, now I can ask if there's any questions, and please speak up. I'm rather deaf these days with my aging body. So speak up like a radio or announcer, and maybe I'll be able to hear you. Yeah.
We have come to Krishna consciousness, and we have the spiritual...
We've come to, okay.
But it seems that, and we theoretically know that we are not this body, but yes, we act on the bodily platform. So how to overcome this?
You're saying that even though we've come to Krishna consciousness, we're still acting on the bodily platform, how to overcome it? Is that the question? Okay. Well, it's not an easy thing to do, but it becomes easy if you follow exactly the instructions given by Rupa Goswami. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavad Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukehi Jivado Savayam Evasparat Yadaha. One cannot understand the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, qualities, devotees, dhams, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead with his blunt, materially contaminated senses. But if you will engage those senses in the service of Krishna, beginning with the tongue, then everything becomes revealed to him. So bodily consciousness means he hasn't fully realized the philosophy, you see. He knows it theoretically, but it hasn't become realized, you see. So you can never realize you're not your body as long as you try to do it with your blunt, materially contaminated senses. You have to Krishnize your senses. You have to spiritualize your senses. Jivado, Rupa Goswami says, beginning with the tongue. So it's very simple. You have to taste prasad. Does anybody have a difficulty with that, tasting prasad? You must taste prasad, and you must vibrate the holy names of the Lord. If you'll do that systematically, in other words, you will only take prasad, and nothing but prasad, and you will vibrate as far as possible 24 hours a day, the transcendental name, fame, forms, pastimes, entourage, on teachings, dham, etc., that amazing Krishna who's has unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame. And is standing on the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat in the full moon night of the Sharad season, wearing that yellow dhoti and the peacock feather in his hair, casting sidelong glances with his flute to his lips, with his threefold bending form, playing that fifth note on the flute. If you can remember him, you see. And always talk about him and always glorify him, you see. With your tongue. Don't use your tongue like a toad, you know, kakakraw, kakakraw, kakakraw. You see, use your tongue to glorify Krishna. We have a talking propensity. Everyone likes to talk, 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 talk. Just like the birds chirp, 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 chirp. We human birds, we chirp, 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 chirp. Our talking is that's our nature. It's like the animals chirp, the birds chirp, we talk. It's the same tendency. We love to talk. Human beings love to talk. Talk, 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 talk. So if you talk some mundane topics, then Papa says, I heard on the tape last night as we were going to the program out in that town, Mead something. New Mead? West Mead, yeah. On the way to West Mead, it was a long drive in the traffic. I heard able to hear a wonderful lecture by Papa. He was explaining that if you talk nonsense, you go to hell. That's the fact. You go to hell if you talk nonsense. But if you talk about Krishna, you go back to Godhead, you see. So since we all have a tendency to talk, what are you talking about today? The latest soccer game? Or the latest politicians down, the latest move of the politicians down there in Canberra, you see? What are you talking about? What are you interested to hear about and talk about? Krishna or some mundane topic, you see? You have the choice. What you're going to hear and talk about. So, how will you utilize your choice? That's going to determine your next birth. So use your tongue well, Prabhus. Use your tongue well, Matajis. Don't imitate the croaking of the toad, who by his croaking, he invites the snake of death. You see, in the dark night, you can't see the frog. It's pitch black. But that snake, he doesn't need to see the frog. Simply by hearing, he can zero in exactly where that frog is. So the frog is there, kuk-a-craw, kuk-a-craw, and zip, the snake comes and grabs him just by hearing the kuk-a-craw. So Prabhupada says, by vibrating nonsense, you're inviting the snake of death. Please come and kill me right now, you see. I'm ready. Yamaraj, please come and kill me right now. Whenever you vibrate mundane nonsense, you're inviting death to come and take you. But if you will talk about Krishna, if you will vibrate Krishna, the rising and the setting of the sun will not be able to rob you of your duration of life, you see. If you will always talk about Krishna, then you're a liberated soul. You're living in immortality already. Already living in immortality. If you will always talk about Krishna. So any other questions?
Srila Gurudev said that if any country or any place Srila Prabhupada stepped in, it's like a dham.
Yes.
So how to live in that mood always, like being in a temple, staying in the temple and always remembering that this is also a dham. How to be in that?
Well, it reminds me of the rule sheet that was posted in our center by Vishnu Janaswami when I joined. We had a nice rule sheet on the wall that says, no relative topics allowed. We weren't allowed to talk about anything except Krishna. That was a rule. It was an ashram rule. You can't talk about anything except Krishna here. You're not allowed to talk about anything except Krishna. No mundane topics are allowed. So, it was a nice rule, actually. We love those rules. Vishnujana Swami was very merciful and very sweet. And we would sit down at Prasadam and he would tell Krishna book stories from memory. It was really something, you know. He was very expert dramatist. He used to do the puppet shows also. He was a very expert dramatist and singer also, of course, and cultivator of new devotees and preacher to none. He was expert in everything. And he would just talk in the most amazing, wonderful ways. He was a wonderful cook also. He cooked prasadam, unbelievably delicious prasadam. So, yeah, he would just talk about Krishna during prasadam. So learn how to, that's to celebrate the transcendental nature of this holy Dham, these deities that were personally installed by Prabhupada. You see, this is very special. You're so much blessed here. In May of 1971, you see, Prabhupada brought these deities from India and he installed them here in Sydney. You see, how fortunate you are, you see. How many ISKCON temples have deities personally installed by Srila Prabhupada? I mean, you're very, very fortunate here. Don't take for granted, though, that there's some statue up there, you see. This is God himself, brought, delivered here by the greatest emissary of Krishna Bhakti in the history of the universe. You see, take advantage of this incredible mercy you have to take the darshan of this beautiful smiling face of Gopinath. This, the smiling face of Gopinath is absolutely amazing. Radharani talks about that. I was quoting last night in our home program. Radharani is very nicely explained about the smiling face of her boyfriend, Krishna. You see. She says, Manavara Manamara Vamadina Jalavina Yenamina Krishnavina Shane Mariyaya Madura Hasha Vadane Mananetarasayane Krishna Trishnad Viguna Vadaya. Very nicely she's explaining. She says, if my impoverished mind fails to remember Krishna, then it dies immediately, just Jalavina Yenamina, just like a fish out of water. But when I see Madhura Hasya Vadane, you see, Madhura, sweet Hasya, smiling face. When I see that beautiful smiling face of Krishna, Mana Nritra Sayane, my mind and eyes are so enlivened that my thirst for Krishna, Krishna Trishna Dviguna Vadaya, my thirst for Krishna immediately doubles. So, if you want to honor the holy nature of this Dham, then you have to learn to appreciate the smiling face of Gopinath. That Radharani, whenever she sees it, her thirst for Krishna doubles. So you have to try to see Krishna in such a way that you desire to serve him more and more and more and more and more. That is honoring the Dham that created by Prabhupada. Let's see. So any other question? You had a question, sir?
If we're serious about fulfilling Prabhupada's mission to spread Krishna consciousness, then it's incumbent on us to explain to people the benefits of it, because most people are looking for a benefit. Why should I? So we tell them about the glories of Krishna and how it'll sanctify you and you become more desirous to serve him. But in the Ten Offenses, it says that you shouldn't tell the glories of Krishna's name.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's quite an interesting. I often speak about this point because it's confusing for one who does not have a deep understanding of our philosophy. Because Lord Chaitanya said, "Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna." That's Lord Chaitanya's order. Jari deka tarikaha Krishna upadesh amar agaya guru ho yutayur desh. In the ninth offense is don't preach the glories of the Lord to the faithless. So what does that mean? How do you correlate or balance those with each other? You don't take, they have to be taken together. Our philosophy is taken, we don't take any point out of context. We take every single instruction in context of all the instructions. So what that means is you have to present Krishna in such a way that people are not offensive. That's what it really means. Because if you speak in such a way that you cause them to commit offense, that is your offense. So the idea is present Krishna consciousness and on their come to their level, and present it in such a way that they're enlivened by it. And as far as convincing people that Krishna consciousness is a good thing, the best way to do that is you be convinced. You see, if you're totally convinced that this, and if you are personally relishing the bliss of Krishna consciousness at every minute, you are tasting the nectar of Krishna Smaranam, you're remembering that beautiful smiling faced boy, you're feeling so blissful just to think about him, then when you talk to somebody, they're going to see you and they're going to go, wow, I've never seen a person this blissful in my whole life. This person is on a whole level, different level of consciousness. I wonder what he did to get there. And then they'll be very eager to hear what you have to say, you see. So therefore, the first thing is, you become an acharya. You see, yad yad acharati shreshtas tattarevir tarojana sayad paranam kurute lokastadana varatate. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 21, he says, whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So if you can show the example of a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they're going to be attracted to you like iron filings to a magnet. You see? They'll be attracted. They'll go, wow. Where are you coming from? How did you get this blissful state of consciousness? They'll be begging you to enlighten them with Krishna consciousness knowledge, you see? So that's the real secret, you see? We have to go deep, deep, deep into Nama Ruchi when we chant around, you see? Go deep, deep, deep into the ocean of the nectar of the name. And then all of our services, where we're taking darshan, where they're offering the arti, where they're singing in the kirtan, we're sweeping the floor, whatever we do, just dive deep into that bhakti rasa, you see. Deep, deep, deep into bhakti rasa. And when we do that, we'll taste so much nectar, and then when we go out for preaching, people will be so attracted to hear what we have to say. So yeah, you just have to be careful. Don't preach in such a way that you cause them to commit offense. As long as you're preaching them in such a way they're attracted, then you're on the right track. You see? That's where you draw the line. If they're attracted, you're doing the right thing. If they're committing offense, then you're going over the limit. That's the understanding. Anything else? Yeah.
Thank you for a very nice class, Maharaj. Mm-hmm. I'm just confused. How does one go deep into their service?
How does you go deep into the service? You have to realize, you don't do it mechanically, realizing that I've been blessed with this opportunity, even though I've been caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions of lifetimes, suffering like anything, you know, as a dog, as a hog, as a camel, an ass, a demigod, a snake, a worm, a germ, a human being, a king, a pauper, a rock star, a leper. You know, I've been going through all of these things. Birth after birth after birth. But now I'm so fortunate. Krishna has blessed me with an opportunity to sweep the floor in his temple. This is liberating me from the cycle of birth and death, to sweep this floor, you see, or to wash these dishes. I'm being liberated by this, you see. If one actually counts his blessings and sees how fortunate he is, then you're in the right consciousness. Then you'll be able to go deep into it. Just like I remember when Godbrother Uttama Shloka Prabhu, one of my beloved godbrothers, he joined our temple in Detroit, and there was a bathroom, for the guests. And I think it was that bathroom. His service was to clean the bathroom, clean the toilet, you know. And in India, a toilet cleaner, that's a low class thing, right? You don't clean a toilet. You bring in the low class people, clean the toilet. You don't clean your toilet. It's a very dirty thing, not for Brahmins. A Brahmin wouldn't touch a toilet, you know, kind of a mood. So he was asked to clean the toilet. This was a service. Instead of thinking, ooh, I don't want to clean the toilet, he said, no, let me take this as the mercy of Krishna and do a really first-class job. He got very enlivened to scrub that toilet, you know, all the stool and urine and whatever is there. He just cleaned it. Just every day he was keeping that toilet spotless, you know. He was proud of. He was enlivened to do that. He became enlivened to do that service. So in this way, whatever service you're given, do it first class. Think, if Prabhupada were to walk in this room right now, how would I be doing this service? If Prabhupada were right here, or my Guru Maharaj was here right now, how would I be doing this service? Haphazardly, like, let me kind of get this over with, or I do it first class, you see. So if you think, let me do a first class service, you see. It's like I'm making my spiritual master's plate to serve him prasadam. I just throw it on there and hand it to him like in a cafeteria. Or I do it like in a fancy restaurant, you know, where everything is just perfectly like a work of art. When I make my spiritual master's plate, I just throw it to him like a cafeteria style, or make it like the top class restaurant in all of Sydney where it's like, you know, a work of art. You know, the way it, see? This way. Do everything first class. Everything first class. When you do kirtan, make it the most beautiful devotional kirtan you've ever sung in your whole life. Whatever you do, always try to do it better than you did it yesterday. Always improving, you see. Yesterday I did 100 books, today I must do 108 books. You see. In this way, always try to improve your service. You see, last year I gave $1,000 on Janmashtami, this year I'm giving $2,000 for Janmashtami, you see. In this way, always try to increase, always try to increase. I know this many verses, now I may learn a few more verses, you see. In this way, always try to increase in every way your Krishna consciousness. Does that help? Okay. Actually, we're a little over time now, but I really appreciate you all. You've been hearing very nicely. I can see by your faces you've been tuned in nicely to my humble attempt to bring the full potency of Prabhupada's teachings to you all here today, according to my realization of 41 years of practice. So I thank you all very much for your nice hearing. It was very enlivening to see you all hearing, and your questions were also very wonderful. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much.